Mornings with Dablo on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW.
Here we are, Talk Around Thursday, getting going. Got a cloudy sky. We are at 33 degrees right now. Get our Thursday started by talking with our favorite historian, Jana Gagelin, in this morning. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
You are our favorite. You know that. You're a lot of people's favorite.
Well, when you're the only one who comes in, I suppose.
Well, you've been digging around. You came up with something really good. Do you want to start with this?
No, I think we'll end with that.
Okay, we'll end with that. Yeah. Well, what else you got?
Oh, I got a couple of short ones here.
Okay.
This is, again, 1925, and so we still have bank robberies going on, you know, not in only Wahpeton, but also in the surrounding area. So one bank, the State Farmers and Merchants State Bank of Wahpeton, decided that they were going to defend their vault with a new, modern, and effective burglar defense.
Okay.
And it was that inside of the vault would be a tear gas bomb. So in most of the time, they tried to open the safe with an acetylene tank and, you know, cut it and then get in. So when that happened, when the burglar would try to do that, the heat from trying to open the vault would connect and the tear gas would go off.
It set off the bomb.
Yeah. So then that was the end of their little attempt to steal money.
It's kind of ingenious, actually.
Yeah. And we know where the Globe Gazette is. And in 1925, they had most of what they were doing was printing, but they had a few other office-type things that they were selling. And so they got Wahpeton Electric to make a sign for them for the front of their building. It was 11 feet long, which is...
That's a pretty good size, yeah.
And it was flashing. So they had three rows, one that said books and gifts, and that would flash, and then followed by office supplies, which would flash, and then stationery and furniture would flash, and then all three of them at the same time would come on.
That'd make me dizzy.
Well, yeah. It would certainly be very noticeable.
Yeah.
And then their slogan at that time was the House of Service, and that was in each of the four corners, and that would light up as well.
What a great sign.
Yeah. Later on, of course, their slogan became the most interesting little store in Wahpeton. But anyway, they start out with the House of Service. And then because this is the week of April Fools,
yeah,
I came up with one I think that you maybe want to share with everyone.
Okay.
It sounds like it could be an April Fool's story, but it's for real.
It is for real. And the headline is Brush Injured in Brush... Upon Brush Farm at Brushville. Frank Brush of Breckenridge had a brush with death on Monday. Frank and his father, Joe Brush, drove to Brushville, where they hoped to brush up against a few rabbits in the brush on the Brush Farm. They were in the vicinity of the Brushville Bridge and had separated in an endeavor to scare up some game. Joe Brush had impaired eyesight. That's never good when you've got a firearm. When he saw a movement in the brush, he up and fired. Shot went where he had aimed. However, Frank Brush, when bit on his hands and knees in the brush, let out a whoop and rose swiftly, informing his father that he, and not a rabbit, was hit. The shot from the gun had scattered and taken effect over an extensive portion of Frank's side, penetrating the neck, the shoulder, side, and leg. Wow. Fortunately, the shot lacked the penetration to injure any vital organs, although the victim was weak from the shock. I bet he was. He was taken immediately to St. Francis Hospital in Breckenridge, where his wounds were dressed. Later, he went home, but is still non-compos fiscus as a result of the incident. That may be an April Fool's story. I don't know.
Well, it was not in the paper on April 1st, so...
Frank Brush. Yeah. Apparently, they didn't brush up any rabbits, but hey, he had a brush with death.
Well, and then, you know, I don't even know if they would have been able to shoot a jackrabbit with that kind of a gun. I don't think it would have killed anything.
Oh, wow.
if they would have hit it, it probably would have been, you know, all over the place.
Right. Well, that's an eventful day out hunting, certainly.
Yeah.
And that's happening at the Brush Farm at Brushville.
Yeah.
Just keeps going. And you asked a question, too. Maybe Brushville was named after this family.
Yeah, I don't know that answer. You know, not knowing much about the Breckenridge history or even the Wilkin County history, I'm not sure. But it very well could be. Maybe some of their descendants or ancestors, I should say. Yeah.
I did enjoy the story of the tear gas bomb. That was good and borderline ingenious. That is a good way to scare off would-be bank robbers.
I think so, because there was a lot of that happening. So,
right.
Yeah.
Good stuff. What you got anything else?
I got one more.
Okay.
And this is a fellow by the name of Oscarson, and he was traveling through Wahpeton on his way to Campbell Foxholm. And on the way, there were a couple of people who needed a ride. So he said, sure, I'll give you a ride. Well, he didn't get all that far. Pretty soon there was a revolver in his neck. So it's like, stop, car. They get out. They're going to rob him. So he gives them what he has, which is $25 and a gold coin and his car. Mm-hmm. That's what he had with him.
All right.
The gold coin was very... important to him because it had some engraving on it. So the robbers thought, well, now what are we going to do with this guy?
Yeah.
So they're going to shoot him and throw him in a haystack. Well, Oscarson overheard this, and he's like, nah, I don't think they'll let that happen. So he goes back over to him and says, you know, that gold coin, that's engraved. I don't think you're going to be able to get rid of that because who's going to take it with all the engraving on it? My name's on it, you know?
Sure. So easy to trace.
So then they gave it back to him. And then he said, you know, that $25, that's really not going to be very valuable to you either. And my car, he said. And by the way, there are some people following me. They're on their way to the same place that I'm going.
Yeah.
And the robbers are getting just a little nervous. And he's saying, you know, you maybe better leave now before they catch up with you. They're not the sheriff or anything like that, but they're workers and they're family members. So they're going to come after you and they'll hang you. They won't even wait for the sheriff to get there.
This guy's a smooth talker.
Yeah. He's probably a salesman of some kind.
Yeah, obviously.
So the robbers are like, well, we better not do this. So they give him back the $25 in the car, and they just ran off. And of course, in his car, he actually had a shotgun, but he didn't shoot them. He just decided to let them run and not take any revenge because he got everything back that they had taken from him.
Well, that is smooth. Salesman or a good lawyer? One of the two.
Yeah, I think he was in sales.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, yeah. So he got back in his car and finished his road trip to Campbell or Foxholm, whichever.
Another great story.
Talking the robbers out of giving you something.
Boy, life in this day and age seems kind of boring compared to what was going on back then, doesn't it?
It certainly does. It certainly does, yeah.
Good stuff.
Well, and, you know, 25, we're still looking at stills, you know, the whiskey and all that kind of stuff. That still is going on, and you have a bank robbery, but you don't have these huge, big stories till we get into the 30s.
Right.
However, I've been running into some stories that are not really very good and very pleasant, and that's people who have been foreclosed on, especially farmers, when they've lost their everything, their, you know, belongings. And so now you're finding stories of the sheriff needing to go out there and take from them.
Well, keep digging into our history. This is good stuff.
Well, we'll see what we can find.
Jan and Gagelin, always great to have you.